All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you, he's your buddy, he loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine, and he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work, and he watches practice. He takes pride in getting the story correct, and he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
Happy Tuesday on the Ira Kaufman podcast of victory. And not just having Ira working for JoeBucksFan.com. I'm Steve Isbitz from Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper's here. We're actually, this is the official radio booth.
This is an exalted spot right here.
This is an exalted spot right here on the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. One day they'll have the Ira Kaufman official chicken wings.
Is this where Jason Light does his weekly pregame confab with Deckerhoff?
This is it. They gave us the Buccaneers Radio Network spot, Ira, for your podcast, which is, of course, blowing up all over the national airwaves, Google Play, iTunes, everywhere.
Podbean.
Love you at Podbean. You know, there are some podcasts out there, Ira, a couple affiliated with major newspapers. They don't have anywhere near the subscribers that you do because Podbean actually shows subscribers. It's unbelievable.
What if this team was 6-2 instead of 2-6, Lee? Yeah, we're really in business.
3-6, buddy. Three and six. Get it together. Of course, your podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Holiday time is zero downtime at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. General Manager Brian Danahy has the season's best savings. Lease a 2018 CTS for just $399 a month with zero down. Yes, a CTS, $399, zero down. Now's your last chance to get these clearance prices, Ira. Last chance. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Or first visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Dealer has all the details. And over at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All, Ira, all of their certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. That's EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon is also right there for you on Causeway Boulevard. See the dealer for all the details. So,
Win's a win's a win. I'll tell you that right now.
The Bucs won today, Ira. You have to keep wearing your blue Ed Morse gear. The blue is the lucky blue.
The blue, baby.
You're going with the lucky blue. Win today. And you know what? We haven't talked about this victory yet, so I have no idea what you're going to say. So the floor is yours.
This is one for the defense, Lee. There's no greater analytical tools that need to be done on this postmortem. Fitzpatrick was okay. The running game was lousy. What else is new? Charles Sims was resurrected from the darkness, something that you're going to have to discuss much to your chagrin today, Mr. DeCamper. But it was a day for the defense, and I want to stress, Lee, and I think it's important, they played a very motivated opponent today. They didn't look motivated, the Jets. They were outplayed. The Bucs had more energy. And one thing that strikes me, Lee, and you might want to talk about this right off the bat, at home this year, 5 games, they play some strong defense in this building. Strong.
A couple games they played strong. They played much better at home. I was joking around with Mike Smith Friday. You know how Mike is. He's always got a smile on his face, unless it's after a loss. And Friday practices are kind of laid back, casual. He caught me by surprise. That's the only practices outside of training camp where I actually talk to the coaches, the players out on the field. So I'm like waiting for Cutter to show up. People are talking to McCoy. At this point, what can Gerald McCoy say that he hasn't said already? So I generally don't join in that mob scene every week about McCoy. So I was just kind of hanging around, and Mike Smith bumps into me. Hey, how you doing? And, you know, that's Mike Smith. I thought he was going to give me some grief because I've been hammering him on JoeBucksFan.com. No more so than I have in the past with Lovey, in the past with Raheem, when the defense stink. And I told Mike, I said, Mike, you know, your defenses, they play a lot better at home. And he kind of smiled. I was trying to give him a compliment. He didn't want to hear it, but he was smiling and joking around with me. But yeah, for whatever reason, they played better. They did play strong today. They played strong against the Patriots. They played decent against the Panthers. They played good against the Bears. But today was 6 sacks. Where did that come from?
Aggressive game plan from Mr. Smith.
Something. I mean, that came out. I mean, think about it. They were down to landscapers and short order cooks for defensive ends.
Now, the Jets offense is never going to be confused with the Saints, the Rams, or the Eagles or the Patriots. Let's get that out there. That's true, but six sacks still.
Yeah. I mean, for a team that had, what, seven coming in for the season?
And the Jets didn't run worth a don.
No, they have no running game.
21-yard run, that was it.
If they don't have Matt Forte, they don't have a running game. And but that's still six sacks. I mean, like, you imagine the money you could have got, the odds you could have got in Vegas on six sacks? You could have gone to Brent Musburger and been on his show, his SiriusXM show. You could have got it like 10,000 to 1 odds, six sacks.
Steve, when you look at it, Steve, analytically, what won the game? Defense and the kicking game. Two parts of the Buccaneer machinery that were not operating at all. Steve, for most of the season, Patrick Murray's doing a nice job. Steve, I'm looking at his kicks. Not only is he making them, they're right down the stripe. They're not, you know, shaving the inside of the right post, bouncing off the left post. He's kicking with confidence. And the defense played with confidence today. And, Steve, I dare say with a lot more energy than we've seen around here.
Yeah, I don't want to take anything away from the defense. Lee had mentioned Matt Forte. The Jets' top rusher coming in here was Bilal Powell, 4.7 yards a game. You know,
he had a 21-yard run today.
He's a strong runner, and they clamped down on him, and I think the defense held the Jets to a little less than 3 yards of carry.
The run fits were very good today.
It was very sound, very good. I think, Ira, you tell me if I'm nuts.
I need no prompting, Stephen. Continue.
The big surprise for me was the revival of Robert Ayers. I really, sort of written this guy off, 32 years old, banged up half a season.
Seemed to be going through the motions. You know,
you just said 3 weeks ago he lost his juice. Comes out today a different player.
He had 4 hits today, Stephen.
Four quarterback hits. That's like a month's worth in
and a sack.
And yeah, a sack, and but a they're going to take that away from him. That was really McCoy's, but not the point. The point is it was pretty darn impressive, and I think Brent Grimes really benefited from the time off. Think about it. No bye week, but his legs are fresh, right? So he just had a shoulder injury. He comes out there. He's flying all over the place. And
he's probably pissed off at that last touchdown, which I think he was the defender on it.
Yeah.
Lee, was I right? But he made a spectacular interception. I mean, that's ball skills right there. You can't teach that. That's what we've heard about Vernon Hargreaves, you know, for 2 years. He's got ball skills. Well, that's ball skills.
Well, a huge, really possibly the first step toward a job saver for Mike Smith. I mean, the Bucs defense at home, I pulled it up.
15 points a game.
You know, if you want to establish something, they've played a lot better. And, Miami's up next, and they've got a crappy offense. You could build some momentum.
And they're 3-2 at home, right, Steve? I believe they're 3-2.
Yes.
Yes. And 0-4 on the road. That's correct.
Oh, the defense on the road. Okay, let's get this out of the way, Ira.
Go ahead.
I have to do a mea culpa.
There we go.
I've been thinking.
I've been waiting for this.
For weeks that Charles Sims has been an absolute waste on the roster. I have no idea why he was on the roster. You keep going back to 2015. That's ancient history in the NFL. I just couldn't wait for the Bucs to get rid of this guy and get someone there that they could trust running the ball, that they could trust, period, that they could use. Well, son of a gun. He comes through today. He looked sort of like, not quite, sort of like your beloved Charles Sims of 2015. So, mea culpa, I've been wrong. He was a key element in this.
Of all the backs to give the ball to on 3rd and 15, mm-hmm. You give it to Charles Sims.
Shot.
And boom, around left end he goes for 21 yards. Now, the blocking was good on that play,
yes.
Lee.
Now, Cutter had said, he all but admitted he didn't expect that. He said he called the play more to chew up some clock and then use anger as a weapon, which he is. And it just so happened that he got some good blocking. He being Sims got good blocking. He took advantage of it. Boom, first down.
And then scores the only Buck touchdown.
Yeah, so I got to give the devil his due.
Cutter likes Charles Sims.
He obviously does. Otherwise, he wouldn't be here. Yeah.
Now, they have to make a decision about Charles Sims going forward, and that's very much up in the air.
His contract's up this year, is it?
I believe it is, and that's very much up in the air.
Again, I got to do a mea culpa. I even talked to him after the game. He didn't want to talk because apparently he doesn't like to talk, period. But there's really no reason to talk to him.
I was talking to him. Steve came by, and he didn't give me much.
Okay.
He didn't give me much.
So he kind of gave me all cliches, of course, but I didn't want him on
the
roster.
You're manning up. You're manning up over there.
I got to be honest. I got
to
be fair.
Now, Steve, it's only fair we turn to the flip side of that little 45 single, and that man's name is Doug Martin, who continues to struggle beyond belief, Steve. To try to get 3 yards of carry. What is going on?
How about, can we hold off a little on Martin? It's your podcast.
Well,
you want to go for it now?
I'm not knocking Martin per se, but They keep giving him the ball, and it's not working because, for the most part, there's no holes there. I'm sticking with that. But why is he getting all those carries, Lee?
The reason why he's getting carries is I think Cutter just trusts the guy. You know, thinking, like you do, it's 2015. Sooner or later, he's going to break one. But before we go further, we live in 21st century, 2017. This is enjoyed by our listeners, your listeners, either in a podcast form, which didn't exist 20 years ago, or on the internet, which didn't exist 30 years ago. So the vast majority of people probably have no clue what you're talking about when you say flip side of a 45. You might want to explain that to them.
45 used to be a single, Lee. Thank you for that.
What's a single?
What's an album? What's an album? You know, now look, some of these stores are going back and selling vinyl. That is going on. But you used to put a phonograph needle to the record, and voila, there's your music. This is before CDs, before cassettes. And the singles were on a 45, a little four, and the albums, I think, were called a 78. So there's your history lesson. How many carries for Mr. Peyton Barber today, Mr. Risbitz?
All right,
how many?
Let's put it this way.
Can you answer my question, Mr. Risbitz?
Oh, I'll double check here for you. I think he had two. Barber, two carries.
Two carries.
Two carries. That's your answer. But here's the thing, Ira, and this is maybe you can answer me this, Ira. Okay. Right now, Doug Martin, he's averaging 3.3 yards a carry on the season.
3.3.
93 carries last year, 144 carries last year, 2.9 yards a carry. So are we just supposed to believe that this guy's got 230 carries over the last 2 years, has done nothing, and it's all on the offensive line because there's no holes? Baloney. The Bucs don't have a good running back in Doug Martin. And they're not willing to just give Peyton Barber the ball and say, let's see what you look like, son, for 15 carries. So here we are. Now, the O-line has
its
issues.
But you also have to admit they don't have a good run-blocking unit up front.
The O-line has its issues. But again, you turn on the film and you see Doug Martin dancing, stopping and starting. He's not running hard. And there were a couple of good runs in this game by Martin, 7 yards. You know what? A couple of years ago, he breaks a tackle. He gets 30 on one of those. He gets 25 on another.
That's a fair point. There were a couple of plays when he got to the second level.
He just doesn't have it. And Dirk Cutter's pounding the rock today with Mr. Martin. 20 carries, 51 yards. He kept the chains moving, and it says kept the clock moving. But, man, what are we? How much more do we need to see?
Yeah.
233 carries and nothing in 2 years.
Steve, an unproductive ground game, Lee, is still holding this team back. Yeah, they won on Sunday. But going forward, you know, to build confidence for the second half of the season, they didn't do much to address their running woes today. They really didn't, Lee.
You know, Steve has always said, and I don't disagree with him at all, that Martin has lost his vision. There's runs. I saw a couple holes that he could have run through in New Orleans that were right there to his left or his right, but he barreled straight ahead. There was an example today. I was sitting next to J.P. Peterson, who happens to work, you know, local sports radio. And J.P.'s really critical of the Bucs, and he's very critical of the offensive line. And he's always harping about the offensive line and Mike Smith.
He's even turning on Jameis Winston a little bit, Lee.
From my understanding. And yes, all game long, almost every play when the Bucs had the defense, he was ragging on the defense, ragging on offensive line. But there was one play, it looked like it was a sweep to the right. And Doug Martin had blockers. And he was running what looked like he was, you know, he was coming toward the line of scrimmage. Sweezy was out there. Marpet was out there. Dotson was out there. He had a mini caravan.
Looked like a 25-yard run, baby.
That's what it looked like. It looked like he was going to bust it maybe for a touchdown. And inexplicably, he cut inside and ran right into three Jets defenders. And JP just went, oh, my God. And I looked at JP and said, I want to make sure you saw what I saw. Did you see Doug Martin cut inside when he had blockers outside? And JP let out a few four-letter words. You damn right. The blockers were there. But it wasn't just me. It was someone else that saw the exact same thing. And not only has he lost vision in finding holes, he apparently has lost vision in how to read the asses of offensive linemen. And what I mean by that is, you probably know this, Ira, I remember this from my high school days. The coach would always say, read the offensive lineman's ass. In other words,
and the Bucs got some big ones to read.
Yes, they do. And in other words, if the offensive lineman's pointing to your right, to the right, you run right. If that, because the blocker, he's pushing left. And, you know, JP kind of said, just raid the blocker's asses. And so,
Steve, this may be the first and last time on the Ira Kaufman podcast that JP Peterson is quoted at length. If I have anything to do with this podcast, that could be it for Peterson. I'm only kidding, JP. You know we love you over there, baby. And he's starting to be critical of Jameis Winston. You know, for 2.5 years, he didn't say one negative thing.
Enough of that nonsense.
The pride of the
Seminole. Come on, radio. What's
radio?
Here
we go.
What's
here we go.
All right.
A win's a win, Steve. All right. It's three and six.
The offense itself.
Lighten up, baby.
Brian Fitzpatrick comes out today, and frankly, I consider this, given the tenuous state of the Jason Light and possibly Dirk Cutter, if you believe some of the rumors and you just look at the record and all that stuff, the Bucks and Light, they needed a victory on the personnel front. And you know what? Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's a victory on the personnel front. A lot of teams have backups. They go in there and they're God awful. And a lot of teams go with younger guys
Not
and they're terrible.
Point. Not a bad point.
I mean, that's
Steven.
A victory. This guy came
and
out.
And those victories have been few and far between.
Well, exactly. And this guy comes out and he looks like a real NFL quarterback. Frankly, look, he probably settled the team down a bit when they were in total disarray. We're talking about season on the brink after last Sunday in New Orleans.
Now, he wasn't Drew Brees today. Take it easy.
No. But in comes Fitzpatrick, and everything is settled, even though he wasn't good. But it was settled.
And the running game wasn't good around him, and he still got the job done.
No running game, and he closed out the game with a touchdown, which is what they needed him to do. So I think that's a big W for the regime here that needs as many W's as possible. And I think they got a lot of them today, and especially in Brent Grimes coming back healthy and looking like a Pro Bowler. I mean, a lot of people, maybe you did too, Ira. Did you think when he hurt his shoulder that maybe this is it for Grimes?
I think that's a fair point. He missed two games this year with the shoulder. You don't want to think that way because Grimes is a pro. Lee, he's a competitor, but he's been kind of an iron man, and all of a sudden he comes down with a bum shoulder. And the first time around, we didn't even think he'd be on the injury report. That came out of nowhere. Remember? Mm-hmm. So Grimes is a heck of a player, Lee. Look,
the Bucks
have to make a decision. The Bucks have to make a decision on him. His contract's up. He's going to be 35 when training camp starts next year, Lee. But as far as I'm concerned, and tell me if you agree, he doesn't look 35.
No, he plays like he's 25. And I got to admit,
he competes for the ball. He contests.
Oh, yeah. And he's such a freak athlete, man. I thought the very same thing Steve said. When you're mid-30s and you're an NFL player, all of a sudden you start getting nagging injuries. That's
you're
usually Father
down.
Time. Father Time's undefeated. I remember when Ernest Graham was getting cut and he was 30 years old. And there were some of our readers on JoeBucksFan.com just went wild with my suggestion that he was done. He never played another snap with the Bucks, and they would have punched me in the mouth if they were standing in front of me. They just went wild. I'm like, look, 30 years old for a running back. That's ancient history. Father Time is undefeated. I wrote that down how many times.
35 from a cornerback next year. That's pushing it.
Yeah, it is pushing it. But you know what? Bucks are in no position to let a decent guy walk.
That's the other point. They don't have any depth at cornerback.
That's it. That's exactly it. And we both know, Miko, it's all about the Benjamins. All about the Benjamins.
Steve, maybe if Hargraves was a stud at this point as an outside corner, then maybe you play some games with Grimes. Hey, Hargraves is our guy. He's going to be, our Patrick Peterson. Well, that's not the case here. It's just not the case.
Well,
the Bucks are not dealing from strength. They don't have any leverage on Brent Grimes.
No, there's no leverage, but I got to take a little exception with what you're saying. We got to keep it real here, Ira. Ryan Smith has not been a problem. This guy went
say
from,
that again, is bits.
This guy went from a train wreck in preseason to awful in Minnesota, and he's come back, and we're not sitting here talking about Ryan Smith.
When you're not talking about a corner, the guy did like a left tackle. The guy did his job, right?
Josh McCown entering this game, as hard as it is to believe, as hard as it is for Bucks fans to possibly fathom, he was completing entering this game 70% of
his
passes.
That's Drew Brees territory, my friend.
And Ryan Smith, I'm not saying he's a great cornerback, but at least I got somebody. Hargraves hurt today, hamstring. He was in street clothes in the second half, which a lot of times guys stay in their uniform. He's wearing shorts and a black shirt and sitting on the sidelines. Guys are talking to him. He might permanently end up nickel battling with Javion Elliott for a roster
spot. And Steve, the decision could be out of the Bucks' hands, Lee, because there are some rumors, we'll see, that Grimes is thinking about hanging it up. And if that's the case, the Bucks are out in left field next year.
Well, I don't know who it was. It was Albert Breer or it was Peter King. Or there was a feature on Grimes. Andy Benoit, maybe. Somebody did a feature on the Bucks, and Grimes is a big part of that
at
feature.
At home with Miko, right?
Yeah. Over the summer. Miko and Brent admitted that they seriously thought about Brent hanging it up and going to play minor league basketball somewhere because he's a big basketball nut. My guess is he would return, and Miko would encourage that. If there's a couple of elements involved, if Cutter and Smith are back, because they seem to have a rapport with them, number one, number two, if the money's right. And go ahead and flip number one, number two.
Right.
If the money's right, and they obviously they like Mike Smith, they have a long-term relationship with him, they like Cutter. I'll never forget in training camp, Mika walking out on the field, and her and Cutter embracing warmly, big hug. And so I think they like it here. You know, if Mika didn't like it, she would not be quiet about it.
That's right.
And for the Bucks, there's practical reasons to keep him. And here's the big caveat. It's the elephant in the room. Who's going to be picking the players come February and March?
Steve, I'm going to ask you this question, open-ended. Did you see enough from the Bucks on Sunday against your New York Jets to believe with any legitimacy that this team can sustain a little success for the foreseeable future? Or was it is it a one-and-done?
Define a little success, Ira.
A little success means 3 wins out of a 4-week span. Can they do that? Can they do that?
Well, Miami is screwed, right? Because they go to Miami next week, but there's no. It should have been the bye week.
Should have been
and
the
Miami's
bye week.
Playing Monday night, or played last night. We're recording this before playing on the road. That's a tough turnaround against a very physical Panthers team, number one defense in the NFL.
And they're going in 4-4, Miami, 4-14.
Exactly. They need the game. It's going to be emotional, regardless. Panthers, number one defense in the NFL.
Yes.
And they got to turn around and play the Bucs, and they don't have much of an offense. Miami. I think that the defense can gain some confidence here. And maybe put something together and sustain something. But can they roll past that? I don't know. They crapped the bed so bad the last month that I can't buy in completely off this game. But you know what? The defense played well.
Can you buy them on the road, Steve? Can you buy them in a road game? It's tough.
It's tough. It's tough. But I think the defense can step up. The offense, though, there were so many problems out here today that we can't just gloss over them. But I got a question for you about the offense, and it's important. Important to the future of the franchise, important to success. O.J. Howard is healthy, Ira, okay? And Dirk Cutter, he said last year when they drafted Hargraves, Cutter himself said, well, yeah, you know, he's the number one pick. He's got to be on the field. First-round pick's got to play, and that's how it is in the NFL. Cutter has said that many times. Well, here's O.J. Howard, and today, no catches. They didn't target him. He's healthy, 19th overall pick. He's got, like, not much this season. This is a struggling offense, and you can't even throw the ball to O.J. Howard. What's going on there?
Lee, there's no way in the world you can avoid the word disappointment with O.J. Howard at this point.
As far as playing or as far as not being getting enough snaps?
He's not a factor.
Yeah.
He's only been a factor in one game, gentlemen, to be fair, right? One, yeah, a couple games. But Steve's right. On a day that Mike Evans doesn't show up, you would think O.J. Howard steps up. Godwin played well
on
Sunday.
He's going to be a good one, I think.
He's going to be a good one. I think Howard's been disappointing. I don't want to hear about his run blocking because based on the way the Bucs are running the ball, how well can he be run blocking?
Thank you.
Now, Lee, there's a guy we haven't mentioned on this podcast. He deserves to be singled out. He deserves his moment in the sun. No, it is not Charles Sims' brother. It is number 54. Now,
oh yeah,
I said a month ago, and nobody argued.
He's having
a
Pro Bowl season.
I said Mike Evans was the best player on this team. And that's before Mike Evans started to show a few maturity issues, which he did show in Minnesota in week two, but it looked like he had overcome that. Frustrations. But Evans is in a little tailspin. He's been in a little tailspin. Obviously, he didn't play Sunday. But Levante David, guys, we've been wondering, where is the old Levante David? And I got to say, for about 5 weeks now, gentlemen, he's playing as well as he's ever played as a Buccaneer.
He leads the league in forced fumbles.
That's outstanding.
Now, I'm going to go back to offense and O.J. Howard a minute here. And I'm going to get...
You're not through with O.J. Howard
yet? I'm going to give
yet?
Some inside baseball stuff. Even this involves Steve as well. And
you're not going to quote J.P. Peterson.
No, J.P. Peterson's okay. Not going to be involved in it.
All right, go ahead.
Leading up to the draft, my argument was, you know, and there were some rumors the Bucs were interested in O.J. Howard. And we had a couple of loyal readers that were just beating the drum for Howard as if he was, you know, the Messiah. And I kept saying, this is a luxury pick. This is a luxury pick. The Bucks have other needs. This is a luxury pick. And I kept getting beat up about it. When the Bucks drafted O.J. Howard the very next morning, I think I took 10 years off of Steve's life. I wrote a story saying Brate might now be on the trade block.
I remember.
Because now you have two stud tight ends. And Brate, you know, he's going to want to get paid. And the Bucks, for the past year or so, every time I talk to influential people at one Buck place, they keep talking about they're going to start worrying about the salary cap. Well, how are you going to afford two tight ends?
Well, except one of your two stud tight ends doesn't have a reception in the National Football
League. Well, you're getting where I'm going. So I wrote that story that, you know, Brate might be trade bait because the Bucs don't have needs, and you're going to get a hell of a pick for Brate, and you may not be able to hang on to him unless you're franchising, but still it's a lot of money. It's going to be a salary cap issue. Since JoeBucksFan.com started, at least on record and off the record when I communicate with people from the Bucs, 99% of the time it's been at worst professional, usually cordial, sometimes fun as hell. This was the worst text, nastiest text I ever got from anybody at the Bucs. When I wrote that story, like, you know, this is still luxury, you might want to trade Brate, I was told, and I'm cleaning it up here, I was told, you have no flipping idea what you're talking about. You have no idea how we're going to use O.J. Howard. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, I got torn to freaking shreds by a very influential person.
And you
person.
Didn't know that, you didn't realize at the time that Izbit sent that email. That,
no, no,
that,
no, no.
You found out later.
Izbit CYA'd both me and him and wrote a story like, oh, my God, I can't believe the other Joe's this.
Well,
retarded. And
Lee, you tried to get ahead of the curve. You tried to get ahead of the curve, and you got busted.
I got busted, but was I not right?
Well,
he's not being used. He's a luxury. They could have used a running back. They could have used a defensive end. They could have used a cornerback in that first round pick.
Brate's proven to me that he's no fluke, and O.J. Howard hasn't done much.
I'm not. Then this is not anti-O.J. Howard in any way. Great guy. Great guy. He's going to be a stud. But what I predicted and what I wrote about this past spring is coming true. He's been a luxury. He's not been used. So you basically, as Steve said, you drafted this. What overall pick was he? He was a big 19, time.
19. They don't throw any deep balls to O.J. Howard, Steve. He's supposed to be a deep threat. He complements Brate, who's the guy that's going to catch on third and nine, the 11-yarder. Where's the deep ball to Howard?
Here's the thing, Ira. Look, you draft the guy because he's an incredible talent, and everybody's high-fiving at $1. They're knee-slapping.
and we were at the sports bar that night, and the fans were
going
crazy.
Wild, and there's nothing wrong with the pick. There's plenty of teams with two tight ends, but if you can't use O.J. Howard on a day that Mike Evans isn't here, and you've got maybe looking at more tight ends with a backup quarterback,
and the offense is struggling,
and you can't throw him the ball, And like you said, how great could his run blocking be? And he does get blown up quite a bit, although he does a lot of good things. It's very odd. There's nothing wrong with the pick, but the pick's brutal if you don't use the guy.
How many catches does he have, Steve? It's at the end of the sheet.
O.J. Howard.
At the very end.
O.J. Howard this season has 14 catches, 227 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Lee, 14 catches. I mean, 9 games. I mean, the stats don't lie, Lee.
Well, I'll go back to that nasty text I got from the Bucs. You have no freaking, I'm cleaning this up. You have no freaking idea how we're going to use him. You just don't freaking get it.
Right.
You don't, well, someone explain to me what I'm not getting because we're not seeing it still. We're, what, 7 games, or 9 games into the season.
You were going to say something, Lee, about Levante David and the forced fumbles and he's all over the field
He's all over the field. He's having a Pro Bowl season, one of his best seasons in a while. He leads the league in forced fumbles.
He said admittedly he didn't have a good season in 2016. He said that.
By his standards, he may be right.
Yeah.
He may be not that he had a bad season,
right,
but he didn't have a Levante David season. You almost suspect the Bucs will never admit this. You almost suspect they drafted Beckwith because they maybe thought, maybe he's hit the wall.
Do you like the way they're using Levante David?
Yeah, I keep writing they should try to blitz him more, and you know, like Shiano did. But hey, the guy's playing he's a whale of a player, having a heck of a season. Who knows where this team would be without Levante? You know, they won games because of his forced turnovers.
Steve, as a group, and we talked about the front four, but as a group, the linebackers had a very strong game against the Jets.
Yeah, we saw Kendall Beckwith revival today. He looked quick again.
Yes.
Very good.
And Quan looked like Quan.
Quan looked more like Quan, and Levante David, you know, he's just having, and considering he had a serious injury this year to his ankle, was out, I think he missed 2 games, was in serious pain after the injury. Lee saw him up in Minnesota, and he's come back and been dominant, which is really great. I think he's going to get back to the Pro Bowl this year if he can keep it going. It speaks very well to the linebacker unit. I talked to David today, Ira, asked him about him now wearing the green dot helmet, which he's been wearing ever since Quan was hurt. And then Quan came back, and Mike Smith told him, just keep it. And that's all he said, just keep it. And David said it doesn't change doesn't make him more dialed in or anything. But I'm wondering, maybe having that extra responsibility, hearing the coach in your ear and spitting out everything and being extra dialed in, maybe that's helping Lavonte David a little bit. I don't think he would buy that, but
maybe you feel more responsible for your, you know, to be a playmaker.
It's a level of accountability when you got your coach in your ear every play, and it's interesting that they kept that. So something to file away. All right, Ira, as we wind down, of course, we already mentioned that you got a special guest coming up, Rock Riley, and fun stuff there. Rock and Ira hammering away. Ira, let me wrap up this way with a question for you on a lot of fans. I can already tell. A lot of fans are not feeling very warm and fuzzy about this team, this win, because they've written off the team. They've written off the season. They're just kicked in the groin 4 weeks in a row, whatever it is. And they're not very enthused here. And I think people are looking to you. I'd be looking to you as a fan saying, Ira, is this team going to finish the year 4-4, go 6-10, maybe squeak up to 7-9 and give us something going forward? Or are we going to listen to Jason Lock on Fora and all the buzz out there that they're going to blow this damn thing up?
You know, I know exactly what you're talking about, Steve, because, Lee, what's driving some of these fans is, don't blow a top five draft pick. That's the way they're thinking.
Yeah.
Don't blow it. But you know what? I don't look at it that way, Lee. And if they finish 6-10, I don't think that's a waste. I don't think that's a waste where you're picking 13th instead of 5th. You blew it bad on Cutter. No, I don't look at it like that. You got to learn how to win in this league, Lee. And if you finish 4-12, you suck. You had a terrible season. And injuries are no excuse. You were bad before Jameis Winston even went down in Buffalo, before that shoulder. You were lousy then.
They're down their top three defensive ends, and they got 6 sacks today.
You know, so I don't look at it the way Steve's intimating, and Steve's not saying he agrees with it. I think you got to get as many wins as you can and start building a winning tradition. Heck, you're not going to go crazy because you had one season above 500 in 2016. When we look at the last 10 years, they've been a disaster around here.
That's true, and a lot of fans look at the following, and I got to admit I lean this way. I can't remember the specific year. The Bucs had what turned out to be the fourth overall pick. They won a late-season game against the moribund Cleveland Browns. Love your word, you moribund. And the Browns wound up in a tie with the Bucs, and they had a coin flip, and the Browns won this coin flip. I think they had the coin flip at the Combine. Damn, Bruce Allen lost the coin flip. So the draft order was, if I recall correctly, is when Jamarcus Russell was drafted. If I recall correctly, it was Oakland, Detroit, Cleveland, Bucks.
And Calvin Johnson was in that draft.
Chucky drooled over two players. He wanted two players bad, either Calvin Johnson or Joe Thomas. What happened? Jamarcus Russell goes number one. Calvin Johnson goes Detroit at 2. At 3, where the Bucks lost a coin flip and beat the Browns, which knocked them out of the third place in the draft, Cleveland got Joe Thomas. What did the Bucs wind up with? Gaines Adams. So this legacy win the Bucs had against Cleveland. Tell me how.
Well, my answer to that is it's a beautiful story, Lee, but I have a simple answer. Don't draft Gaines Adams. Don't screw up your draft pick. They screwed it up. They paid the price, and they're still looking for a pass rusher. Go make some good picks. What's the matter? With the fourth pick, you can't pick a player that's going to be a potential Pro Bowl player down the line?
I'm not against tanking. I'll be the first to say this. I'm not against tanking, but I'm against tanking.
You tank when there's a quarterback. You need a quarterback, you tank. I mean, what are you tanking for, a cornerback?
You tank with 2 games left. You don't tank with 8 games left. There are fans who paid good money for these tickets who want to see the best players performing the best, and there's some obligation there. At least on some level, I think. But a couple games left, yeah, sure. You know, let's get Jameis. Let's be smart, you know.
I'm not going to quibble with a win, and Buck fans should not. They should not.
No. All right, one little thing I almost forgot, I wanted to run by. I brought this up on my podcast. Lee wrote about it. I wrote about it on JoeBucksFan.com. Very interesting stuff. DeSean Jackson was lauded by Dirk Cutter after the game. And Jack's for his leadership. And this guy, he just threw a bunch of love at him, saying he's working so hard and he's doing all the little things, the big things, and he's not necessarily getting rewarded on the field. And this guy, wow. And then Lee and I learned through Cutter that he gave a post-game address to the team. He asked if I could address the team, DeSean Jackson. And Lee talked to Peyton Barber. Barber gave some insight into the chat. and details not super important. I talked to Quan Alexander, who said that basically, you know, he's not a captain, but he's a captain now. And he's really stepped up to be that guy, and everybody looks to him. And what do you make of DeSean Jackson now being the, looks like possibly a new go-to guy on this team?
I think it's very refreshing, Lee. And I think one of the big reasons that Cutter is lauding DeSean Jackson is Jackson's doing a good job of keeping his mouth shut. He's frustrated. He came here to win for a team that won 9 games last year with playing with Jameis Winston. Jackson is keeping his mouth shut. And when he does talk, he's being positive. That's a double whammy that, that Cutter loves. So, you know, for a guy who was being, fans were pointing out a week ago, look at DeSean Jackson in the pregame while Winston's doing this thing with his fingers. Look at Jackson. He's saying, I can't believe what this guy's doing. Well, just the opposite has happened. DeSean Jackson has assumed a leadership role, and that's, and Cutter loves that, and he should. And Jackson, that's not a word that's been associated with DeSean Jackson.
No, and I'll get to that in a second to back up your point. The eating the fingers for the W, it's starting to take off. Stanford players did it the other night.
And I guess the Detroit Lions were making fun of it last week,
well,
too.
Well, Stanford wasn't making fun of it. Gosh darn, I can't remember who they beat. But they beat, and I watched the stinking game. But it was an upset, and they won. And the players on the sidelines are walking around with a W, you know, 3 fingers up, and they're like eating. They're like eating the fingers, like, like that. So it's starting to take off. Now, DeSean Jackson, your buddy, Chris the Mad Dog Russo, I listen to him religiously. Got to thank Elizabeth. He turned me on to Russo years ago. I love Russo. So Russo always has Phil Sims on every Friday.
Yes, he does.
And they got to talking about DeSean Jackson, specifically Sims was. And Sims like saying, this guy's going to blow. He's going to blow a gasket. I can see it. It's only, you know,
he's
Sims
a diva.
It's only a matter of time. You know it's coming. Well, just the opposite. Just speak to what Sims had said and where it looks like just the opposite is happening.
Look, that his reputation as a diva, I wrote a column early in the year. He fits right into that diva mold. Uber talented, but has a reputation for getting frustrated when he doesn't get enough footballs. Lee, he seems to have turned the corner. You know, that doesn't mean that it can't happen in December. You know, if they're 4-11, he might go off on the offensive game plan or whatever. But as for now, as Steve's pointing out, instead, he's trying to assume a leadership role. Bravo for Jackson.
Two Winston things there that Russell's been talking. You got him going when you talked about him winging the pass at the media. That was like yesterday. That was like a month ago. Now Russo brings it up daily, damn near.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
like it. Well, anyway,
yeah.
Russo said he didn't like the eating the W's, and he's getting tired of Winston's shtick. And Russo said this with Phil Sims Friday. He just yelled, just play the damn game.
You know, I did mention to Russo last week about, well, he asked me about Winston, and that hadn't been widely reported outside of Tampa, that he tossed the ball in the direction of the media. And I said, and I think with some truth, he could have took an eye out. He could have. Because some people were looking down. Some people looking through a camera. It was not a responsible thing to do. And it looked funny, Steve, but it wasn't the right thing to do. And why did he do it? I mean, because the media was talking about his shoulder and should he play and should he not play. But anyway, to the point you made about Fitzpatrick, Steve, I think what it does in Sunday's game is, you mentioned he settled the game down, and I think that's fair. And, Steve, I think it takes a little bit of pressure, if there is any, to rush Winston back in the lineup, especially if he goes out and beats Miami. You play Winston when Winston's healthy, when he's healthy.
Enough of that. Now it's time for Ira and a really cool segment, one-on-one with Rock Riley. A lot of juice from the locker room. And, of course, remember, keep checking JoeBucksFan.com. Subscribe to Ira's podcast, Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, wherever. And look out for the details of his fan retreat the night before in Atlanta, Bucks fans, before the Falcons game. Details on JoeBucksFan.com. Here's Rock and Ira.
Special guest this week, Mr. Rock Riley. Rock, the streak is over. The ugly streak is over. And Rock, if it wasn't, you know, an art masterpiece, is any Buck fan going to complain, Rock, or is a win a win?
No, Bucks fans will complain, and they have a right to complain, and that was an ugly game. But you know what? Going in that locker room, and when you see the players and you talk to them, you realize, man, there was a lot of pressure off their shoulders. Now, coaches, different story, and we can even get into that specifics of what I noticed from Dirk Cutter afterwards.
Rock. A couple of things I noticed in the locker room after the game. Donovan Smith, as people were walking by, saying, I ain't speaking to the media today. So I kept walking. I didn't want to talk to Donovan Smith anyway. Even though I give him credit, he could have taken the day off. He got hurt last week. But, you know, even with a five-game losing streak, he was out there trying to help his team. So I give him that much. But Rock, the linebackers, how everybody wants to talk. McCoy usually waits till the last minute. He was at his, you know, chair gabbing it up. Everybody on defense wanted to talk about what they did. And I'll tell you what, Rock, the guys I talked to from the offensive standpoint, they couldn't say enough about the defense.
They were all saying the same thing. Defense, I don't, you know, the game has changed. Defense still will win you championships. Now, the Buccaneers are far from a championship. They're just trying to get the second win. But there was relief. Brent Grimes is like, man, I hope we realize and feel this win for a while because it's been so long. This is what it feels like. Kendall Beckwith had that big smile. And he goes, whatever. Somebody was asking him, well, what about the game plan? How are you able to get all the six sacks? He goes, whatever we did this week, whatever we did on our way to the game, let's do the same thing. He was smiling. So for the players and getting a win, it was relief.
You know, Rock, I asked Gerald McCoy a question, which could have went either way, Rock. You know, it's a tough question. I said to him, did you win because you had fun or did you have fun because you won? McCoy thought it was a heck of a question, which I took as a compliment. He said a little bit of both. Rock, by that I mean to you, didn't you see from the start, Rock, from the very start, more energy, more juice, and more guys having fun?
On the defensive side, and also what McCoy said is we weren't putting ourselves, we were getting at it first down, second down. That allowed us to change it up a little bit and doing some blitzing, which they hadn't done because they had been terrible on first and second down because it was brought up about the third downs. But did you see the beginning when we came over to his locker? I don't know if you saw that. Did you see that?
No.
He was hurting so bad with his back that he actually laid down in his locker. And then Roy said, is that where you're going to do it? And then he realized, I got to get up. Then he had two hands on, and I had some of that on my video here that you may have seen, but if you didn't see it, and I wasn't able to shoot all of it, then he got up, he put two hands on the back of the chair, and then he was like, let me just sit down to answer. Gerald McCoy has got a bad back.
He's going to come in Monday for treatment, Rock.
And when you have a bad back, it doesn't go away, so he's going to be hurting with that back.
Rock, you know, they had a good time. They had a fun time. And it was good to see the smiles, Rock, in the dressing room. Now, you mentioned something from a coaching standpoint from Coach Cutter. Did you see relief from Cutter? What'd you see, Rock?
Well, the question that was asked to him, and he's very sensitive now because that means he is hearing all the outside noise. There was a reporter from a local station, and he said, some of the players said, and I'm paraphrasing here, that maybe the message, maybe the attitude should have been a little bit different. And he goes, and he stopped. Remember that? And he went, I just want to say something here. I'm getting tired of what other people are saying. And then I got a comment because I didn't even know what somebody else said. So you can tell that he's hearing all and he's had the heat is on. And he honestly didn't look like he was relieved. He got a win. But the pressure is still on him.
It's absolutely on him. Now, Rock, I thought it was very telling that the Buck defense was saying what they did on first and second down because after I went into the Buck room, I went into the Jets room. I wanted to see Austin Seferian Jenkins, and I saw McCown, and he gave me a nice greeting. And McCown held a little press conference for the Jets radio network before he went to the podium. I was right there. What McCown emphasized was we got beaten up on first and second down. Every time I looked up, it was third and seven. It wasn't manageable down and distance, and the Bucs have struggled with that all year long, Rock, not getting teams into third and seven. And you're right about the blitzing. Even when the linebackers didn't get there, they helped the defensive linemen get there and helped them get those six sacks. Very aggressive game plan for Mike Smith today.
It was. So you know what? He finally tried something a little bit different. It hadn't been working. So again, this defense, it was good to see Quan Alexander now starting to come around a little bit.
He looked like the old Quan.
He looked a little bit more like the old Grimes. Did you see that catch? How athletic he is.
Yes.
Good to have him back there. So this was won by the defense. And if they didn't have your boy, Patrick Murphy, they might not have won this dang game.
You know,
I'm serious, though. At least that's
dead solid. Going unnoticed right now, Rock.
I think I bring that up.
He has solidified a position that was totally in disarray, Rock, and there's something to be said for that. And I think going forward, you know, every time the Bucks get to the other team's 30-yard line, I think Cutter feels comfortable, maybe the 35-yard line, that Murray's going to get the job done. One thing I notice about him, I don't want to get too technical here, Rock.
No, go ahead. This is your podcast, man.
You know,
you're the sage.
My knock on Murray over the years is he's a low kicker. He kicks it low. You know what I've noticed here?
He's not kicking it low.
He's not kicking it low. So he's taking a little advice from the Brooklyn sage over here, Rock. All right, Rock, what does it mean in the grand scheme of things? I went up to Luke Stocker, and I said, Luke, is this a big weight off the team's shoulders? He goes, no, we got a long way to go to get out of this hole. Rock, did you notice how everybody in that locker room was saying, 1 week at a time, gentlemen?
Yeah.
They're not going to let this get ahead of himself and think about three wins in a row to get to 500. They're not going to do that.
I can't imagine what it would have been like had they lost this game. I can't even imagine that. I will say this, though. This is the reason why they went and got Fitzpatrick. Do you see?
Yes.
You could have gone with the kid, Ryan Griffin, who didn't have any experience. Maybe somebody else out there. Look, we've seen it. And I tweeted out early in the game, oh, Fitzpatrick is at least able to hit his receivers, unlike Jameis. And then he had a number of misses, too. But I will say this. He takes what the defense gives you. That is knowing and being in the league so long, and you could just see he was hitting.
And he goes through his progressions.
He goes,
Rock.
You can see that. So, and it sounds like it, and we've been over this here on your podcast and with Jason Light. It's looking like, and I know the Scuttlebutt's guy that Lee loves out of knowing Jameis's guy, it's probably going to be a little bit longer. So, I like the fact that Fitzpatrick is that veteran. And you know what? If he just kind of manages the game, and he hits more passes than Jameis, but maybe he doesn't hit the deep ball. Who knows? Maybe they can get a couple more wins, man.
What'd you think of the atmosphere, Rock, the crowd?
What crowd?
When the game started, did you think it was a lousy turnout?
Yeah.
And the Bucks wouldn't have much energy today?
Yeah, because you know what? I can tell driving here, and if I come at the same time, and I know you're probably the same way.
Same way.
I was like, whoa. I was expecting even
you're
more Jets
fans. You're zipping away.
There's nobody here. So it just shows you.
Jet uniforms.
Yeah, but I didn't see as many as I thought. These were Buccaneer fans that said, you know what? I'm done, or I'm not gonna come and watch this. So all in all, let's credit the defense. You got the veteran there. But keep an eye. I'm telling you, I saw the pain, the back pain that Gerald McCoy, and he's not going to talk about it, that he's going through. That's
I believe
be
he went to the locker room in the first quarter, Rock.
He did. You're exactly
yes,
right. And
he
then
did.
He came back out, and then he gutted it out.
Any jobs saved today, Rock, or we're far from that?
It is a star. Jason Light has to be a little bit happier, don't you think? Everybody, bottom line, nobody cares. Like, nobody is going to care weeks down the road that this was ugly. And what did Dirk Cutter keep saying? What did Ryan Fitzpatrick say? I'm at the stage of my career that, you know what? A W, a win. That's what makes me happy. So the pressure is off a little bit, but still, they're not able to run the football. I think DeSean Jackson, did you see him with those blue-tinted shades that he has in his locker? Mr. Cool, he's talking because he was getting targeted and he was feeling a little bit better.
Chris Godwin show you anything, Rock?
A little bit. Yeah, you know what I think? I think he's going to be a good one. I really do.
Yeah.
Like the attitude, he's stronger. He's bigger than you think. He's got some good hands. So you know what? He's somebody to watch out for down the future. We got to be honest, too. We're still talking about the future here, even after 1 week.
You know, Rock, last thing, and I think it's important. The Jets didn't come in here as a 1-7 football team. They were 4-5, Rock, and they have a bye week next week. They very much were focused on being 5-5, and then they got to play Carolina after the bye week. They were all hacked off in the locker room. The Jets are all hacked off. They looked at this as an opportunity lost.
Here, I'll tell you this. I got a buddy back in Jersey that covers this team, this Jets. They have a bye this coming week. they were considering, prior to this winning streak with McCown, going back to Hackenberg, tanking it, and going after a franchise quarterback.
That was the story.
That was the plan. So that's the message that they had. Austin Seferian Jenkins lost 35 pounds. He quit drinking, and he had been a big factor prior to this game. He really wasn't a factor here.
He didn't have
here.
A catch
no.
three quarters.
So they honestly thought they were going to go against Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick threw so many picks. No Mike Evans. They thought that they were going to win this game, and they're going to stay with McCown and forget about the franchise quarterback. Now, they're in that other situation. So you're right on that. I'm glad you went in the Jets locker room, buddy.
The Jets came in motivated. Rock, we enjoy your
I listen
enjoy
to this
all your
one.
Stuff on Tuesdays. You're
I
at
love
the bar.
This. Sage, Sage.
What's the name of that bar, Rock?
It is the Pint and Brew, Tampa Road, Palm Harbor. I am there
Everybody's
every
invited,
Tuesday.
Rock.
Anytime you want to come by, you will enjoy it. Food, beer, and more beer.
Keep it up, Rock.
All right, Sage. Thank you.